sincere welcome to those of you who are listening to Law and Gospel on this August the 12th in the year of our Lord 2015. I'm Tom Baker, your host for this broadcast. And because of the subject matter, that means I've got a lot to say right now. We are not going to be taking phone calls on this subject, but we will take phone calls tomorrow, especially when Ruminations Thursday, we have with us the Reverend Wes Reimnitz. We're doing something today I've never done before. Obviously, AM850K, if you will, worldwide, is a broadcast station of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And we always want to show how wonderful are the doctrines of the Lutheran Church, particularly as understood by the Missouri Synod, in order that even more people might come to our churches and find the great gospel comfort of the forgiveness of sins, eternal life, etc. So sometimes what you'll do is we might interview somebody who left another denomination, for example, Roman Catholicism or Evangelicalism or something like that, and became a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod member. We're going to do the opposite today. We're going to talk about an individual who left the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in order to become a Roman Catholic. And we're going to do it on the basis of EWTN, that's the Roman Catholic stations, radio and television. They actually have some very good programming. We ought to mimic them in some areas. And one of them is what they call the journey home. Now, for them, home is coming back to the Roman Catholic Church. And they'll interview individuals. The gentleman who does that, his name is Marcus. And in that interview, they'll talk about why they left the denomination that they once were a member of and joined the Roman Catholic Church. This particular interview is one with Dr. Robert Koons, K-O-O-N-S, who is actually a teacher of philosophy. This is not a man who does not know theology or philosophy. At least he thinks he does. And therefore, we received from one of our listeners a CD of that particular broadcast on EWTN talking about why Dr. Robert Koons left the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in order to become a member of the Roman Catholic Church. He begins by talking about that he grew up in a LCMS home, that means Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He said it's an ideal Christian home. He was taught love from God was unconditional, and so forth. So he never says what congregation it was, but I'm not really that interested in it because it could have been my congregation. It's what he says afterwards that shows me that wherever he was at, he either was not listening to the pastor or he was in a church which was not really developing proper Lutheran theology. Why? He says there were two events that moved him to start rethinking Lutheran theology. The first was, and he says this, he attended a Lutheran rally by Nicky Cruz. Now, Nicky Cruz is not Lutheran, but many, many years ago, there were a number of people who were on drugs and in a bad lifestyle, and they became Christian, and they began witnessing their Christianity. Their rallies that they attended were not Lutheran rallies. A lot of what they said was very good about Jesus Christ, but then, of course, they did something else. And here's what he says. At one of those events, he had made a commitment to invite Christ into his heart in a very personal way. Well, if you're in a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregation and the pastor is teaching properly, you know that you cannot invite Jesus Christ into your heart for two reasons. If you are an unbeliever, you will never want to do that because you are an unbeliever. And if you are a believer, then you will never have to do that because he's already in your heart. So that showed me right away that for him to think that that was a big impact clearly showed that he was not under somebody who was giving him proper Lutheran theology. Then he said the second thing was in high school, he attended a Campus Crusade for Christ rallies. Now, I remember those when I first got into the ministry. The individual in charge of that who really helped work those out was Bill Bright. And I would say about 80% of what they had to say was very good. But once more, I remember Bill Bright's 4 points of how to become a Christian. You first of all, agree that you're a sinner. Second of all, you confess your sins. Third of all, you believe that Jesus is Lord. And fourth of all, therefore, you say a prayer inviting him into your heart. Well, as I pointed out 100 times, if you believe that Jesus is Lord, you can't believe that unless he's already in your heart. No one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So, I don't know what kind of Lutheran Church Missouri Synod he grew up in, but to look to Nicky Cruz and Campus Crusade for Christ as somebody who woke him up to proper theology, boy, that's a real problem. He also read, he said, C.S. Lewis and others such as Francis Schaeffer. Now, C.S. Lewis is well known. He has some wonderful writings out there, but we need to understand that C.S. Lewis still believed in purgatory. Now, I can't understand how anybody can believe in purgatory, but I'll talk about it a little bit more. He got involved with philosophy. And he made some very good points. He said, you know, some philosophers think that their vocation is to undermine the Christian faith. He says, I do not agree with that. He said, we need to find a way to combine faith and reason. He says, atheists use philosophy to proselytize to their point of view. They think they can destroy the Christian faith. And he makes a big distinction between teaching philosophy in the classroom and doing evangelism. Because he is a doctor of philosophy at a particular school, he cannot use his classroom for evangelism. And there's no doubt that philosophy is something that I even majored in. And it is just some good way of thinking. It teaches you how to think logically and so forth. He does really put a pretty good picture of Lutheranism. He says it was very liturgical and sacramental. But he says in his particular confirmation, the Lutheran pastor was trying to explain why we are not Roman Catholic, not why we aren't Baptists or anything like that. Now, I don't know if that is true or not, but I'll tell you, when I have an adult instruction class, I not only talk about where we disagree with the Roman Catholics, but where we disagree with the evangelicals, the Baptists, the Methodists, the Calvinists, and so forth. But in his particular church, it was just basically Roman Catholic. And he therefore uses that to give the impression that we Lutherans really want to be under the Pope, and that's why we spend so much time why we can't be under the Pope, because we feel guilty. Well, I've never met a proper Lutheran pastor who feels guilty about not becoming a member of the Roman Catholic Church. There's another thing he does all the way throughout. He keeps talking about the church as though the Roman Catholic Church is the church. And, of course, what the Bible makes clear is that anyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ is a member of the church. You can be Methodist, Presbyterian. You can even be Jehovah Witness and Mormon and not believe what that church teaches, but instead read the Bible and come to faith in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. As I've said a number of times, when you get to heaven, there will be a surprise to you that not all Lutherans are going to be in heaven, because there are hypocrites and a lot of other people who are Christians, members of other denominations, are going to be in heaven. You don't have to be Lutheran to be in heaven, but you do need to be Lutheran to get the full comfort of God's holy word. So he says he grew up thinking that Roman Catholics are wrong with a lot of things. And he finally started reading the church fathers, Augustine, Athanasius. He says he thought that when he was reading the church fathers, they would really sound Lutheran, because, of course, Lutherans point back to the church fathers quite a bit. But he thought they were more Roman Catholic. For example, Augustine believed in the historic apostolic succession, that in order to become a priest, you have to be able to make sure that you can go all the way back to the time of Jesus. That's the apostolic succession. And he felt that that's what they were teaching, and that's not what Lutherans teach. He says, the main thing that held me back from becoming Roman Catholic was the doctrine of justification. And then here's how he described it. For Lutherans, the doctrine of justifications says what you have to do in order to be saved. And that is, you have to come to faith. And he said, Lutherans don't believe in faith plus love or faith plus work saves you, but faith alone. Now, I found that very interesting, that I have never read anywhere in proper Lutheran theology that faith is something you have to do. He was much moved by the Council of Trent, particularly that was a Roman Catholic council that met after Luther died. And there is no doubt they did correct some abuses that had been involved in the church. For example, they no longer teach a coin into the coffer rings a soul from purgatory springs. You can't buy people out of purgatory. We'll talk a little bit more about that. He said he left Lutheranism because he wanted to follow Christ and get the doctrine of justification right. Now, some time ago, and he talks about this, some very, 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 very liberal Lutherans and the Roman Catholics came up with what they call a joint declaration, where they said the differences are not that great. Now, he did say this, that when he read the document, he did not agree with the document because the problems are more complex. So he was very fair in saying about that. But he also was moved by First Things. First Things actually was a very good magazine. It's still in existence. And the editor was Richard John Newhouse, who just so happened to have been Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and he became Roman Catholic. Now, Richard John Newhouse really had a gift in the area of politics. He was very pro-life, and a lot of his articles are very helpful. But when it comes to theology, he's not helpful at all. In fact, one of the men that Robert Coons mentioned is Robert Price, one of the greatest theologians of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And I remember having a conversation with Robert Price. He was one of my professors at the seminary, finally became president of our other seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. I went to the one in St. Louis. But he had shared with a number of students that he felt Richard John Newhouse never did get the doctrine of justification straight in his mind. And it certainly does appear, and we'll get into that a little bit more here as we move along. So Richard John Newhouse, member of Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, became Roman Catholic. And he once wrote a paper as to why he became Roman Catholic. And this also was the main reason Robert Coons says he became Roman Catholic. What was the reason? He says, what you have is a real problem when you're not sure between the various doctrines, which one to confess. Should you confess the Methodist point of view, the Presbyterian point of view, the Baptist point of view, the Lutheran point of view? How do you maintain both orthodoxy and unity? And here's what he says. We need an authoritative source that says who won the argument. Now, what he does, he quotes another individual named Newman. Newman was a very influential writer, particularly for Roman Catholics. And one of the items that he wrote about, he said that Christ gave us a way through a Spirit-led church to continue with doctrinal teachings. In other words, Newman was of the impression that the Bible was not a closed book. It was rather something that could continue to be going on. Not that doctrines would change at all, because as Kuhn says, he believes the Bible is infallible. But there was such a thing as additional understanding of doctrines. Now, I don't have any problem with that when we're talking about the Trinity, for example. The creeds of the church, the Apostles, the Nicene, the Athanasian, are actually summaries helping us to understand the various Bible verses. In fact, I once did a sermon on the Athanasian Creed, and for each phrase, I showed the Bible verse that it was backing up. So we would not consider the creeds to be an addition to the Bible, any more than if somebody built a house and you were asked the question, what has he done in his life? And you said, well, he constructed a building. And somebody says, no, he didn't. He built a house. And you said, well, that's what I just said. He constructed. No, you didn't use the right words. So the confessions and creeds are explanations of specific Bible verses, but they're in the context of the Bible. As I've said 100 times on this program, if I ever say something you disagree with, phone me up. And if I don't have a Bible verse to back it up, turn the station, I'm a false teacher. And this is where Kuhn's really came down. He believes that the Holy Spirit continues to help us to understand the doctrines of the Scripture in a more fuller way. But here's the doctrines he was talking about. The Immaculate Conception of the Virgin Mary, her perpetual virginity, which means that she was always a virgin, never had other children. And of course, papal infallibility, indulgences, purgatory. Now, he says that, yes, none of these are taught in the Bible, but the seeds of them are taught in the Bible, and the Holy Spirit, through the, what I would say, the magisterium of the church, the Pope and the councils, then expresses the understanding of these seeds. For example, he talked about that, yes, Lutherans do have a high regard for the Virgin Mary, but isn't it reasonable to think that therefore she would have a certain special place with God because she was his mother? Well, how many times have I said on this program that the Scriptures are not reasonable? They don't make common sense. And particularly when you realize not only are there passages where Mary does not have faith, but she herself talks about that Jesus was her Savior. What does she need a Savior for? I mean, Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden wouldn't have talked about the need for a Savior prior to their fall into sin. But I can give a lot of Bible verses here that this is what I found so fascinating. It was the same reason Richard John Neuhaus said he joined the Roman Catholic Church, because now he had an authoritative source where he was no longer in doubt about passages in the Bible. Yesterday, I was doing a Bible study at Trinity Lutheran in Orchard Farm, and one of the questions came up is, what does it mean about a new heaven and a new earth? And I began by answering the question saying, you know, unlike a politician, which I'm glad I'm not, where you're not really sure just what to believe, as a pastor, everything is black and white. It's either in the Bible or it's not in the Bible. And if it's not in the Bible and doesn't contradict a Bible verse, then we will say, well, we're really not sure, and for example, about this new heaven and new earth, but there's no doubt about it that there will be a new heaven and a new earth, because the present heavens and earth, the present universe, is all messed up due to the fall of man into sin. We've got hurricanes, we've got tornadoes, we've got comets smashing into the earth. We got all kinds of things that would not happen in a perfect universe. So that's why there needs to be a new universe. Just as our bodies, our mortal, puts on immortality, so also the new heaven and new earth is going to be perfect. But we don't have answers for all that. And so that's the point I'm trying to make here. Now, it's very interesting that Kuhn's, being a philosopher, believes that philosophy also influenced the writing of the New Testament, although he didn't give any specifics about that. And so I would be very interested. Obviously, Greek language had certain understandings of how words are to be described. But for them, and that is for Kuhn's and this Marcus who is interviewing him, the doctrine of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod about justification by grace alone apart from works was a novel doctrine that they find not in the Bible. Well, I don't know, haven't they ever read Ephesians 2, or say by grace, not by works, lest anybody should boast? I mean, how many passages do you need? Well, when the question and answer question came up, some people emailed in questions. The one that really struck me was, can you give us the understanding surrounding indulgences? And here's what Kuhn said. This also was the hardest for me, and I'm still not comfortable with it. And then he mentioned he's still a work in progress. Yeah, he needs to understand better the doctrine of purgatory. Now, the other individual said, well, Roman Catholics have a different understanding of sin. They got into it a little bit, but let me just quote from a Roman Catholic document. There's no doubt that purgatory is not a place where you get your sins forgiven. Roman Catholics believe their sins were forgiven at the cross of Jesus Christ. Then why do you go to purgatory? Let me read the sentence. In the sacrament of baptism, not only is the guilt of sin remitted, but also all the penalties attached to sin. In the sacrament of penance, the guilt of sin is removed, and with it, the eternal punishment due to mortal sin. But now listen to this. This is the official teaching of the Roman Catholic Church. There still remains the temporal punishment required by divine justice. And this requirement must be fulfilled either in the present life or in the world to come, that is, in purgatory. Wow. Did you know that? That Roman Catholics believe that you have to take care of the consequences of your temporal sins? No wonder Kuhn said that, boy, he's still having a problem with this, and he's not quite sure on it. And the other individual tried to help him out a little bit. But they were simply saying that the new Roman Catholic Catechism says temporal penalties are natural consequences and needs to be healed. And overcoming these eternal consequences of sin need to happen before you enjoy the beatific view of God. Wow. You want to be Roman Catholic and believe that? There is not a shred of evidence in the Bible supporting that new teaching called purgatory and indulgences. They can make it as pretty as they want. But the fact of the matter, what do you say when Jesus says to the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise? Oh, maybe he didn't see the beatific vision. You really want to belong to the Roman Catholic Church where the Pope who just died, they're not sure he's in heaven. Why? Because they're not sure he's really paid off all these temporal consequences of his sins. We believe, teach, and confess, according to the Bible, that when Jesus died on the cross, all consequences of sin, temporal and eternal, have been taken care of. And that on that judgment day, there's going to be no need for us to catch up and balance out our temporal consequences. In fact, even the Roman Catholic Church believes that if you're just so happy to be fortunate enough to be there on the day of judgment, then you no longer have to do these temporal consequences of sins. You go right to heaven. Well, why do they say that? Well, because it's pretty clear in the Bible that the sheep enter into heaven immediately. My bottom line is simply this. I don't have the necessity of having all the questions I have, which is about 10,000 of them, answered. I don't need to have an authoritative source. I don't listen to the heads of the synod if they come out with something, unless they can back it up with Scripture, which they often do. In fact, They always do. The scripture alone is our source of information. And once you say that that is not true, and therefore you can have somebody outside the scripture telling you what is true and what is not, we are in big trouble. I'm not saying Roman Catholics aren't saved. I believe they are saved because they do believe that all of their eternal consequences were picked up by Jesus on the cross. But two things about this gentleman. Number one, he appeared not to attend a very good Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod congregation, either because he wasn't listening or because he had a pastor who wasn't able to teach properly. And second of all, for him himself to say he has problems with the Roman Catholic Church opens us up. Tomorrow with Wes Reimnitz, we will continue this subject and take phone calls. God bless.
Each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.